In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan speaks with Yehuda about the album he's made with Elliot Fiske, Songs Without Words.
Yehuda, your collaboration with Elliot Fiske, the incredible classical guitarist, is always an inspiration. You guys have had to take music and change it so that it came out as beautiful as it has, but that takes a lot of work. So maybe you could tell us how it all happened.
Yeah, that should be, I think, of interest. Elliot is, as you say, probably one of the world's most exciting guitarists, and he is the heir to Segovia. It's been a wonderful association just to go on musical adventures with him. We've been playing together for a couple of years, and every piece that we have to play, or that we want to play, has to be arranged by us because there is nothing written for this combination, which is surprising because if you consider the fact that the cello is a singing instrument and the guitar always accompanies singers, it would be a natural, but it hasn't happened. So when we decided to do the CD, which is, again, a combination of plucked sound and sustained sound, we had to look for material. You cannot just take any piece and arrange it. The piece has to be idiomatically adaptable.
Well, what did you choose?
So we chose, the CD is a collection of maybe 18 or so gems from different cultures, different traditions. We have Appalachian songs, Appalachian folk music, Schubert songs, Cuban, Gypsy. There's a prayer by Bloch. Baroque music, of course, French, Russian, you name it, it's all there, Gypsy. They're all miniatures, little gems. I think of bonsai art, you know, the art of miniaturized trees, which are like an entire universe in a nutshell, reduction to the very essentials. Every one of them gives you the essence of a whole culture. I'm very, very happy with this new CD.
So what is the name of the CD?
We call it Songs Without Words, from Bach to Bachianas. Bachianas is Bachianas Basileiras by Villa-Lobos.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds great. It seems to me, you know, you say you had to change it around, but the guitar was always, as you say, backing the singer. So in this case, the cello becomes the singer.
The cello becomes the voice.
So all you have to do is transpose the voice into the cello? No?
In the case of Schubert's songs, this is all we had to do.
Yes.
In other pieces, there was much more going on. Mm-hmm. Embellishing, making it more exciting, adapting it to the instrument. So this was stage number one, just getting it ready to play. Then, of course, comes the recording process. You have to choose the sound. You know, these days the technology is so advanced, you come to the recording studio and the engineer says, where would you like this piece to have been played or this recording to be produced? I can give you a Carnegie Hall sound. I can give you Concertgebouw in Amsterdam sound. I can give you Teatro Colón in Buenos Aires. Scientifically, they have analyzed acoustically the sound of different concert halls and they can actually place you on the CD, they can place you in that space.
Well, that, of course, presupposes a discerning audience that could tell the difference between, you know, the Carnegie sound, you know, and the Argentinian sound. How do you?
It's amazing that they analyzed the sound of spaces.
Yeah.
And they can artificially produce them.
So what's the market for a CD like this?
I don't know. Time will tell. Guitar is very popular.
Yeah.
The material is extremely popular. So, and there is nothing like this in existence, guitar and cello. I think it's the first time that there is a CD with those two instruments combined.
But
so
I'm told that
time will tell.
I hear you, but I'm told that CDs are done.
Oh, you're talking in general about the industry.
Yeah, no. Now I'm talking about the general, but also that when somebody takes the time and the energy to produce a beautiful piece like this, what are your expectations of what's going to happen to that? And we know that, for example, the major rock artists, they can't sell CDs anymore, so they tour, and that's when they sell the CDs.
True. Also, people can buy one song or one number online.
Sure.
So the whole industry is undergoing huge change. I would say that this was really a labor of love.
Yeah, yeah.
We enjoy working together, and we wanted to have something with the two of us.
Well, are you going to take it on tour?
We will play it. We have played it already.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And then, of course, comes a lot of decisions when you produce a CD, of which I've done many. how you approach it. Do you want the engineer to be part of their artistic production? In other words, do you want him to take little bits from here and from there and put them together like a quilt, or do you want it to be your statement and have complete takes? Because these were short songs, we could actually play a few times each piece entirely, so there will be no interruption and there will be no interference electronically or technically by an engineer.
Are you happy with it?
Very, very happy. Very, very happy.
So can we hear some of it?
Yes. So I chose three different songs, very short, because time here is of the essence. The first one is an Oriental by Kui, who's a Russian composer. And it's a reminder, really, that Russia only begins in Europe, but it goes all the way into Asia, to the Chinese border.
The Trans-Siberian Railroad.
Absolutely. And this is very Oriental. You can imagine a belly dancer. You can imagine, a snake charmer, whatever you want. It's this kind of music, very exotic.
The title of Yehuda Hanani's album of duets with Elliot Fisk is Songs Without Words. For information about Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.